Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
You are listening to All About Healing, and I'm your host, Emily Francis. I hope everybody's had a wonderful week, and I'm looking forward to today's guest is Jenny Lee, and she is the author of the book Breathing Love, Meditation in Action, and she wrote another book called True Yoga. And Jenny, thank you for being on the show. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Oh, thanks, Emily. I'm happy to be here.
So I want to start even before the book. I really want to hear about your yoga training and how you got started.
Okay. Well, I've been practicing yoga for close to 25 years now. I'm dating myself. I started out in a very physical practice in the Los Angeles area. And over the years, it has developed into a much more spiritual and meditative practice for me as I studied the classical teachings such as the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali and really dug into the philosophical end of the yoga spectrum. But I have taught and practiced all different forms of Hatha Yoga, everything from power yoga to restorative and yin and all of that. So in my yoga therapy practice, which is my one-to-one practice with clients, I often draw from different lineages, different traditions of physical practice, depending on what they have going on and what they're needing to balance in their lives. And then, of course, we always talk about meditation and as being the pinnacle of the yoga path. So
I love that. And you grew up in Southern California. Are you still there?
I did. I grew up in the Pasadena area.
Nice.
But no, I'm in Hawaii now, so I moved further west.
I'm so jealous. You are?
Yeah, I live in Hawaii. I love it here. It's my island home, and I love to surf and hike, and so there's an abundance of nature here, and it's really beautiful to be able to connect with that every day of the year.
Oh, my gosh, you're living my dream. I'm such a big fan of Hawaii, especially because they don't have snakes there.
We do have scorpions, though, so you got to be...
I don't care. Anything but a snake, I'm good. Then I can go hiking and not be afraid, because somehow, I think it's because I'm a Scorpio, they find me. So no matter where I am, if I'm hiking, I promise. I always tell people I see snakes, and they go, oh, I've never seen them. And every time, they come to find me. So I don't want to be friends with snakes. I don't even want to get past my phobia of them. I like them to live peacefully and me live peacefully and not together. So what island do you live on?
I'm on Oahu.
I'm so jealous and excited for you.
Island,
what a wonderful life. And I love your book. I have to tell you, the cover, first of all, is beautiful. And I was just in Denver a couple weeks ago at the New Age Trade Show, and our books were top and bottom to each other. So that made me happy. And if you don't have it, I'll send you a picture of the Llewellyn Wall. And my book, The Body Heals Itself, was right underneath your book, Breathing Love. And I have to say, just this book, if people that are listening don't have it yet, go buy it. It's Breathing Love, Meditation in Action. It's really beautiful and easy to read. And I found myself taking it with me into a lot of different places. I received it several weeks ago. So I actually read it a while back, so I'm kind of having to refresh. But I loved having it. Even just sitting in my car, I would think, if somebody saw this in my car, they would think I'm such a kind person because I'm reading this sweet book. I really love your message, so I want to just start right away and hit hard with the difference between self-love and universal cosmic conscious love.
Mm. Yeah, dive right into the deep end.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that about the book. And I did write it. I'll just say quickly that in each chapter are short meditation practices and not like so sit on a cushion and meditate, but really ways in which we can incorporate meditation into our daily lives. So I love to hear it when readers take it with them, because I do feel like it's a resource for people to dip into if they just need like a little hit of inspiration or a quick practice to recenter themselves. Every chapter has those. So that's awesome to keep it on your passenger seat. But to answer your question about personal love versus the universal cosmic love, and kind of, I do really stress this hard in the book, that what we conceive of as love in the general sense of the out in the world of commercialism, and you know, everybody throwing the word love around so casually, like they love the person's sweater that's next to them or whatever. It's a very different level. There are different levels of love. So the energy of love is just that. It's energy, and it can be expressed in many different forms, just as the energy of electricity can move through lots of different channels. And so on the kind of small level of love, we have the things that we enjoy, the things that bring us pleasure, that personal sense of connection to people, places, and things. And but the cosmic, what I refer to as, I title it different ways at different times in the book, universal love, cosmic love, divine love. What I'm talking about there is really the source energy. So where is this love coming from? I mean, we don't manufacture it within ourselves. We feel it. We express it. It moves through us just like electricity moves through a channel like a lamp or a washing machine or whatever the channel is. We are those channels for this universal source of the energy of love. So it's recognizing that what we experience personally as love is coming from that universal source. And then how do we connect more to that? How do we draw more from that so we can feel more love in our personal self and in our lives? And how can we express that more and really live in that vibration?
Okay, let me ask you this then, and I love this. I believe that in order to really experience this, you have to have come from somewhere to, it's basically coming from nothing to something. You had to find it yourself in order to be able to integrate it into who you are, so much so that you would want to write a book about it. And I would love whatever you're comfortable sharing, but there has to be some part that you had to really learn how to cultivate it. So can you give me just a little background on how that became such a part of your daily life and who you are?
Sure. I have been a seeker, a searcher for an understanding of the cosmos, of life, of source, God, my whole life. I just came in wondering, wanting to know, you know, who am I? Where did I come from? What is this life all about? And so I've been asking these questions, I think, since I was a child. I probably drove my mother crazy, and I was reviewing some journals recently and ran across some things that my ex-husband said about my seeking, and how, you know, I'd wake up in the morning at breakfast be talking about my theory of the universe. And, you know, so it's always been a part of me, I think, this search for understanding. But in terms of personal experiences, I mean, I've been dealt a lot of loss in this life. My karma, I would say. I've lost a lot of people that I have loved dearly. Parents, grandparents, a child, a lover. And what that has done, I believe, is make me search for the connection to love that transcends the earthly physical connection that we share with people, and to want to know how I can remain connected at that energetic level with these other souls who were so meaningful to me. And so it's been through the practice of meditation that I have learned how to connect to that. And that, thus the subtitle of the book, Meditation in Action, that this practice of love, loving and connecting to the universal source of love really does come through the stillness of meditation, as well as the, what I call meditation in action, that kind of practice of living it out in the world. But we can certainly talk more about my meditation practice or meditation in general.
Yeah, we will. We definitely will. So you, if I were near you, we would be very good friends, I think, because I definitely, first of all, I want to thank you for your willingness to be honest and so vulnerable, because I do think that it takes a lot of courage to live your life out loud and to let people in to see that you, you know, you're not Mary Poppins. You didn't always just have a perfect, easy life. Like you said, you've had a lot of loss. You know, and I came into this world very curious and terrified of death and dying. I don't know if that's my Scorpio energy or what, but I've always sort of seen deeper than most of the people around me, so I always felt like I sort of, like I was different. And then I finally started to meet my people, you know, coming into adulthood. And I started practicing yoga in the 90s myself, so it seems like you and I were doing a lot of the similar soul searching. And I do think that it's really, really important that people that are listening do learn from you how you carry meditation into your daily life. So I want to just, I want you to give me sort of a day in the life of Jenny Lee. I want to know how you meditate, how your day goes. Do you start it in the day? What? Give me a little taste.
Okay. And please come to Hawaii and visit me. I'm always looking for a new friends who are on the soul path. So, day in the life. Wake up around 4:30. Have a little bite to eat or a sip of coffee to just bring myself into this day. Do some spiritual reading, usually from some writing by Paramahansa Yogananda, because he is my preeminent spiritual teacher. And then I sit for, I do some physical exercises, some asana practice, and then I sit for 30 minutes. And in my seated practice, I'm doing a combination of focusing techniques that have to do with breath, visualization, and energy movement in within my body. So it's these are techniques offered by Paramahansa Yogananda in his teachings. And I have found them extremely effective over the last 8 years in terms of developing the ability to concentrate and become less restless in meditation, because I'm a mover. I'm a type A. I don't ever stop. My nickname has been Fast Forward, so I totally understand when people say, I can't meditate, I can't sit there, I'm too restless. I know, I get it. Oh my gosh, I get it. I struggle every day with my body being comfortable or not, my mind being bouncy or not, and so I really get it. And it's you're not unique if you're struggling, because we all struggle. And even in those of us who have a very disciplined, dedicated meditation practice, still have to apply effort. And every day is just, you know, all effort is progress, though. So even if I have a bouncy meditation, my day is still set. I'm on the right course, and then I can move into my work for the day, which whether that's seeing clients or doing some bit of writing or business outreach or whatever. And I know that on the occasional day that I don't start my day with that routine, that I am not nearly as grounded or centered or able to cope with all the various things that come at us in the course of the day. So I really rely on it.
My goodness, you've got some discipline. You know, and I'll tell you, I started practicing yoga and Tai Chi at the same time in the late 90s. I was very young. I was 23 in the late 90s, and I started practicing both, and we would go to the park once a week for Tai Chi, and we would do an hour of standing meditation and then 2 hours of movement. And my teacher would just say, since you're not ready to stand there for an hour, just come, you know, come maybe 10 minutes before we start the movement, and then 15, and then 20. You know, you kind of work your way back, so that you can stand there longer. So those first several months, I don't think I came but 15 minutes before the time, because I could not stand still long enough to do that until I fell in love with the tree, actually. And then I got so lost in my watching the tree come to life and watching the cells, basically, the energy cellular movement of the tree. It kind of revealed itself to me, and then we would start having internal conversations. And then I really did fall in love with that whole, you know, tree-hugging life. But it took so long to build, but it was still just once a week. It wasn't something that I did in the morning myself, and I've always kind of had a hard time with cultivating discipline that lasts. I tend to go in phases where I wake up and I do this practice and I feel so great, and I think, why don't you do that tomorrow? And then tomorrow comes and you're like, meh, you know what, it was so great yesterday, I just don't think I'm going to top it. So I want to know how, yeah, as a type A personality, which I am not,
How did you cultivate it into a daily practice where you keep coming to it?
Well, I just made the decision, really. I felt very convicted after reading Yogananda's instructions on meditation that are offered through his lessons. Anyone can get these. And I just really felt a sense of conviction. I had been practicing on an irregular basis for many, many years prior to that, but there was something about the darshan that came through his words that really brought my heart into a place of, absolutely, I'm not going to get anywhere if I'm just dabbling here and there. I've got to do this. And for me, it's a combination of straight up discipline and also devotion, and really the love that I feel for my spiritual teacher and for just the love that I feel for love. My Instagram post yesterday was, have you kept your meditation, have you kept your appointment with love? Because that's what meditation is to me. It is my appointment with love. It is where I come on a daily basis to connect to love. And so if I bring that devotion and the discipline too, they help each other. So on days when I'm not feeling so disciplined, the devotion gets me there. And on other days I might be feeling just huge love and just want to be out there loving everybody, but I don't have the discipline. Well, then the discipline gets me there. So it's a combination.
Okay. See, this makes more sense to me, for me, because I go outside at night under the moon and I stand barefoot outside and give thanks. But it's not just silence. I give thanks and talk and just very grateful for the day and my life and having spirit as part of my world. And, you know, but I don't even think of it as like a devotion or a practice. It's just something that I do privately. That's just, it's how I can go to sleep. It's with what I need to do before I go to sleep. So that makes a lot of sense to me that this is what you do for your day to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes so much sense to me. So now I want to talk about that you are a yoga therapist, and I would like to know what that entails for people that are interested in having yoga therapy.
Sure. Yoga therapy is a specialization within the field of teaching yoga. Like I said, I taught many, many, many public classes in all various forms of hatha yoga. But yoga therapy, and there's different types of yoga therapists, too, I will say. Some specialize in a more physical therapy, rehabilitation end of the spectrum. I tend to specialize more in the psycho-spiritual end of the spectrum. So my clients often come with presenting concerns such as anxiety, stress, some grief, transitions in life, depression, maybe those kind of things. Things that they might go to a typical psychotherapist for, but they're looking for more of a mind-body integration, which is what yoga therapy offers. So my specialty, again, is in that psycho-spiritual end of the spectrum, and we really look at kind of how is your life balanced between your physical self, your mental and emotional self, and your spiritual self, and are all those components working well for you in your life? And if they're not, what practices might we employ from the classical teachings of yoga to help you find more peace and balance in the mind, in the body, in the spirit? So it's a very unique and intuitive process that varies day by day and client by client and even session by session for any client. But it's something that I've done for over 15 years now and never tire of the beautiful revelations that come through sessions and the ahas that clients have as I'm able to ask pointed questions and kind of guide them towards their own inner truth. And I don't presume to hold truth for anyone. I know that it lives within each one of us, and I'm just there as a guide to you, help you find yours if you're sitting there as my client. So.
And about how often does somebody work with a yoga therapist? Like if you take somebody on as a client, do they do it weekly or more times? And I know this also has to do with money and lifestyle, but what's a general rule? When you pick
everybody's different. You know, I have clients who have worked with me weekly for years, and I have other clients who have come for, say, a six-package session that we might work over the, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and then they feel like they've kind of moved through what they needed to move through, and I don't see them again. So it's very diverse. It's very up to the individual, and I'm happy to work with people at whatever place they're at. I don't have any specifications. I'll make recommendations on what I think after I meet somebody, what might be beneficial in terms of a practice protocol, but it's very, very unique to the person.
Okay, I totally understand that. It's such a beautiful practice to have somebody come with you and to take you deeply into your yoga soul, if you will. Because I do think that I actually think that every person's body is predetermined and predisposed to practice yoga. I think even people that feel like their body can't do yoga, I think it just takes a few weeks and something happens inside your body with the cellular memory and somehow and you open up in a dynamic way physically and spiritually. And I think that even if people only do a physical practice, that it tends to change and turn into a spiritual practice as well. So I know that you see that in your daily life all the time. So to bring people into that space, I think is really beautiful and something to be very proud of. So I hope that people continue to work with you and that your practice flourishes even more. And I want to talk about the different emotions. And I know that we're really close to taking a break, so I don't want to get really deep yet into the emotions, but it's very easy to talk about anxiety and depression as a way to find your spiritual space, because I think they both have a link into the spiritual realm. I want to talk about, when we come back from the break, dealing with anger, which is a little different. So, you guys, we're going to take a break. We are on with Jenny Lee. She's the author of Breathing Love, Meditation in Action. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscle's emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscle's emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself Now.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Stretching is so important. Without it, muscles shorten, become tight, and then bam, when you call on the muscles for activity, they are weak and unable to work properly. You can keep your muscles stretching in the right way with stretch therapy, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home or office. It's easy and affordable with Emily A. Francis's book, Stretch Therapy. You'll be able to stretch anywhere by yourself or with a partner. So get stretching. Buy Stretch Therapy today. Visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. That's EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to All About Healing, and we have Jenny Lee on the line today, and she's the author of Breathing Love, and that's Meditation in Action. And Jenny, I want to make sure people know where to find you, so can you give us your website, please?
Sure. It's my name, Jenny, with an I-E, J-E-N-N-I-E, Lee, L-E-E, yogatherapy.com. Jenny Lee, yogatherapy.com.
Perfect. Okay, so I was just telling you on the break that I totally love you and wish we were friends and neighbors, and I would like to come to you to be your neighbor in Hawaii. So I wrote the book, The Body Heals Itself, and my work is centered around muscles and the way that we hold emotion tied to our muscles and our body memory. So you as a yoga therapist, I really want to sort of compare ideas. And I know that for me, I think anxiety and depression are very linked to a spiritual practice if they get past that hump, if you will, because I believe they're both born with spiritual gifts that they don't know what to do with, and so it manifests as fear or sadness. But anger, to me, is a very different expression of emotion, and it's much harder to bring somebody out of a space of anger. And for me, it would become a physical thing. I'd go right to the glutes, things like that, and work there to help somebody to get past it. But I would love to know in your practice how you approach. Do you find a lot of people, first of all, that are willing to go to yoga therapy when they are dealing with anger?
That's a really great question, and you know, I have to say I have not read your book yet, but I'm going to put it on my list because it sounds like we do have a lot in common in terms of our philosophy, and I'm sure I could learn some fantastic things from you about the work that you've done with emotions in the body, and that is something that I work with as well. So, great question about anger. And do I have people come in like with the presenting issue of anger? I would say no, not directly, but that's because it's often suppressed or repressed in some way, especially for women. I think anger has gotten a really bad rap. It's funny. In some ways, we're the angriest society and the most vocal about our anger. And certainly recently in the political realm, it's just been a bash fest, you know, of anger. And so I find that anger is really not done well by most people, and that it's either spewed out as this vicious, venomous, hateful, you know, what we see in social media and on the news, and, you know, it's just so destructive and really alienating and separating, or it's suppressed and repressed. And I would say that on my client, with my clients who I tend to see are more on the spectrum of not really being in touch with their anger. So what will happen is that through sessions we will tap it. And I'm a very big proponent of being self-analytical, being authentic and integrated in our feelings. So first we have to get to know them. We've got to acknowledge them. And if there is anger, we need to name it, and we need to talk about it in a safe space and have a container where we're held in the expression of that so that it is done safely, not in harm to ourselves or to anyone else. And then we can start to look at what's beneath the anger and really what the more core issues are, that maybe there's something that's really unjust that needs changing, and so anger is calling us into action. Or maybe there's something that was extremely hurtful that we need to apply some forgiveness to in the past. And so it's kind of a multi-level process in terms of looking at what's there, how it's being expressed or not, what's beneath it, how the body, of course, is reacting to that suppression. I think the more obvious demonstration of how anger affects the body are some of the diseases and the discomforts that we experience as a result of long-term anger.
Do you feel like anger is tied up tightly with guilt?
Not always. No.
Where do those fit together to you? As far as like you're uncovering to get to anger, is there? To me, it lives on the cul-de-sac with guilt.
That seems like something we would have to explore on a beach walk in Kailua.
Okay.
because it's probably going to go longer than this segment. But,
okay.
I will grant you that it might be on the cul-de-sac, but I don't know that they're necessarily always connected. I think at times they could be. Certainly when it comes to self-forgiveness, I think they're... You know, self-forgiveness often has to do with guilt that we might feel about something. and therefore we're also a bit angry with ourselves.
It's interesting because I think different people gravitate to different services for their healing. And so I've found that for me, because I'm a clinical body worker and I help people, and I do emotional release and things like that, but my avenue always first is clinical. And I find that a lot of people, because of my book, ask a lot about autoimmune diseases for me, and that is not something that I work with, because a lot of people who suffer from things like fibromyalgia don't like to be touched. So they're not going to find me. So this is not my expertise at all. And so I do deal with a little bit more guilt and anger, resentment, different things, depending on where it is sitting in their body. So mine's more about muscle and where it sits. But for you, people that find yoga, they are looking for a deeper spiritual path. I mean, there's no getting around it. Even if you just want, you know, Christy Turlington's body, you're still, there's no way you're going to show up again and again and practice yoga just because you think about the way somebody looks. It becomes something so deep so fast. So what are the emotions that generally are the ones that find you in the most basic way? I mean, who are the people that you see the most of in that way?
Yeah, that's interesting. Cool question. You're a good interviewer, I guess.
Thank you.
Different questions. I like that. You know, it's not the standard ones. I'd say the emotions, that's very, very interesting. The emotions that find me most are grief, and no coincidence, because I've had so much personal grief that I've really become friends with it.
Okay.
I often will tell people when they're approaching grief and they're very tenuous about that, they're not sure that they want to go there or go into the expression of it. I say, I know it's scary. It feels like you're going to fall into a bottomless pit and you're never going to be able to get out if you start to express this. And they'll often say, yeah, that's exactly how it feels. Like, I don't think I'll ever get back out. And I know that place. I know what it feels like to be down in the pit of grief and feeling like I would never crawl back out. But I did, and I know that you can, and everyone I've ever worked with on grief has. And so I'm a good guide down into the pit and back out again of grief. So grief is definitely one. Fear is another one. And fear, of course, is at the base of anxiety. So that's another one I deal with a lot.
That's my
good
friend.
I am a warrior when it comes to fear. I don't do fear. I am here to help you become fearless.
Oh, wow. Okay, because I've dealt with extreme anxiety and panic.
Okay.
And so I pulled myself out of it, but it was not by the warrior spirit. It was by the skin of my teeth and hanging on by the size of a dental floss thread of sanity, I think, taking myself down to the brink and all the way back up. So I love that you're a warrior and you don't do fear, because I have no idea what that's like. I mean, I've already said that. I'm terrified of snakes. I'd like to live in Hawaii because they don't live there. So I love that, and I love that people find you because of the grief, not because I want you to have that grief, but I do believe that we are given certain things. People find me when they're making a huge life shift. That's when they find me, when they've hit the end of some place and they are totally lost and down so deep they don't know which way to go, and they're making potentially a spiritual life shift. That's when they find me. It's at the end of one place and the beginning of another. And that's how I come in and help. So everybody does have their specialty that makes somebody find them. And I love that people have a place to go. Grief is so lonely, so incredibly lonely. And we're going to take a quick break, and I want to keep talking about that because it's beautiful. We're on with Jenny Lee. You're listening to All About Healing. You guys, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Stretching is so important. Without it, muscles shorten, become tight, and then bam, when you call on the muscles for activity, they are weak and unable to work properly. You can keep your muscles stretching in the right way with stretch therapy, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home or office. It's easy and affordable with Emily A. Francis's book, Stretch Therapy. You'll be able to stretch anywhere by yourself or with a partner. So get stretching. Buy Stretch Therapy today. Visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. That's EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to All About Healing, and I'm your host, Emily Francis, and I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I hope that as you listen to sweet Jenny Lee, the author of Breathing Love, Meditation and Action, I can feel your love and kindness and your authentic heart and expression, even just through the radio, through this show. I feel you, that you are so authentic in wanting people to live their best life, and I think that's so beautiful, because I don't think that's as common as people think. You know, you find that tribe and you think that everybody's that way, and it's not true. So I'm really grateful that you have such a kind and generous heart and that you're open that way.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, you are leading a retreat coming up, and I think that's huge, and you also have some online courses. I think that those are, I admire your courage and your warrior spirit. So let's talk first, before we get into the retreat, let's do online courses. Do you have any that are coming up?
I have two online courses that are evergreen, so they're always available. One is through Daily Om, and it's called Heal Yourself Through Yoga, and it's a yoga therapy course that kind of takes someone through the various components of yoga therapy and practices that they can do on their own at home if they weren't ready to step into a, you know, client relationship with me personally. So it's a very economical way to get a sense of what yoga therapy is all about. It's a I put a lot of effort and time and work into that course. So, and then there's also a short meditation course on how to develop a sustainable practice of meditation. And both of those courses are available. You can read more about them on my site and then click the links to get into where you would purchase those. And I think they're both about $10 or something. So they're really not very big of an investment. They're probably less than the book. Yeah, and then the retreat, did you want me to tell you about that?
I do. I want to first say, though, I'm totally impressed that you have a course with Daily Om. I love Daily Om. I've tried to get in with Daily Om, and it takes a lot. So you are very established in your career and in your teachings to be able to get that. So those of you that are listening that aren't as familiar, that's a huge place to be accepted to have an online course, and that tells a lot about your practice and your knowledge and the work that you've done. So I don't want to skim over that, because it's a huge deal. So congratulations on that. And then, yes, let's jump right in, because I don't want to miss this. Retreat. Tell me all about your upcoming retreat.
Sure. I do a yearly retreat somewhere around the world, and I'm an avid traveler, so I'm always looking for awesome new venues, and I'm really excited about the one coming up in March. It's going to be in Mexico at a ranch where we're going to be doing some communication with horses. And we were talking about fear a few minutes ago, and so I wanted to say that if you have ever been curious about horses, or if maybe you've had an experience and it was scary with a horse, or maybe you love horses and can't wait, but there's going to be a little something for everyone, and this is really an opportunity to develop an emotional awareness about yourself in a very different way. And so we'll be using the groundwork with horses as well as riding them at whatever level you're at, and it'll be very personalized. But it's a great way to kind of overcome some fears and also learn a lot about yourself in relationship to these beautiful beings who have been in service to humans throughout time. And the retreat will also have yoga and meditation daily, and then we'll also be doing some writing. So I'm bringing in a little bit of my teaching on writing, writing from the heart and the soul, and helping people to do a bit of that on their own, whether it's for publication or just their own self-reflection. It doesn't have to be of any, and nothing has to be shared. It's just for your personal growth, but it's going to hold a lot of fun components, that retreat. And you can find information on the website, JennyLeeYogaTherapy.com.
And I'm seeing the retreat night right now, Joyful Soul Retreat, March 9th through the 16th, 2019, Rancho Las Cascadas Resort in Mexico. And I love the things that are included, 7 nights, all meals, daily yoga, spirit riding workshops, horseback riding, and a writing coach to spark the creativity, which I hope is you.
It is.
Meditation and guidance and things like that. I was not part of the teaching crew, but I was in Sedona for a Tai Chi retreat, and it was so profound, and I find myself looking back on that experience often for the way that my soul opened and being away from the rest of the world and really diving in. It never felt like practice. It just felt like fun with the people that I love the most, and I love finding people that do what you're doing, and I don't want to sound condescending, but I'm so proud of you. I think it's a big deal. You know, I know what it takes to put this stuff out there, I'm very proud of the work that you're doing and who you are in the world and making
Thank
a difference
you.
Because it is a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's hard. It's hard to come from. I saw your background that you have dealt with some depression and fears, of course. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that, but then skedaddle past it once our body memory can lock in what it feels like to feel healthy and free. So I'm very proud of you and the work that you've done. And I want to just take a minute to give you the floor. If there's things that you want to make sure that people that are listening to you today, if there's something that I've missed, if there's a conversation that you really want to have with somebody who needs to hear you, you have the floor. Go for it. Anything you need.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that praise and that vote of confidence. It does take a tremendous amount of courage, I guess, or work, discipline, everything, all of the above, to keep putting out there the things that I believe are for our upliftment. I want people to know that even though I write inspirational books, that I don't live on a cloud of inspiration 24/7. And I think it's important that people know that even those of us who are in the positions of inspiring others or encouraging others through our practice or our writing, that we're human and we deal every day with the very same things that everybody else is dealing with, discouragement, fear. And I said I don't do fear. I feel fear. I just don't indulge it. So I've learned how to acknowledge it and see it for what it is and then choose to operate in a way that doesn't allow it to take hold in my life. So, but it is really important, and I try to always be upfront with my clients and with anyone that I'm speaking with, the fact that I can only do the work that I do because I've walked the same path that everyone else has walked in these categories. You know, I have been in a deep state of depression. I have felt fear. I have felt extreme grief where I wanted to die and just never thought I would get out of that pit. So it's because I've learned the tools and I've learned the practices that have taken me out of those places that I can share them with others. And so I love doing that. It's what I live for. It truly feels like my purpose in being here on the planet. And if I couldn't do it anymore, I wouldn't want to be here. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to just clarify that. And I hope that is helpful in some way to someone.
So helpful. You know, I think it is important because you made me have this memory. I was still teaching yoga. I stopped teaching yoga when I started suffering from panic and anxiety for so long. I used to teach it 5 days a week, and I loved it. It was just such a part of my life. And I had started, anxiety and panic had really taken over, and I literally had gone to hypnotherapy that afternoon and then had to go teach. And I got into the parking lot, and I was just frozen. And I had to give myself that self-talk. These people need you. You can't quit. You can't just not show up. You are on the schedule. You are going to teach, and you have a packed class. And I got in there and I taught it in a way that was talking to myself out loud. And we got done with Shavasana and people were in tears. But it was really just me giving myself the talk that, like, you can be here and it's okay to feel this. And this woman walked up to me and she said, "My gosh, your life must be perfect. You're like a noodle. You're so relaxed all the time. What? That's just so awesome." And it was before I was honest about my fear and panic. And I looked at her in the eyes and I said, "You'd be surprised." And I thought, gosh, what a liar I am. What a liar. This person thinks my life is great. I'm panic-stricken. I barely got through. I'm seeing myself in the mirror and realizing I'm not dying like I felt like I was. So that's such a huge deal to tell people that, you know, you've gone through this and that that's where you've been. So you guys that are listening, Breathing Love, Meditation in Action, and also go to JennyLeeYogaTherapy.com. Maybe sign up for an online course or look into that retreat. And Jenny Lee, thank you for being a guest today. You have made my day. And please give my love to the air out there in Hawaii.
Thank you, Emily. I will. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much. You guys, don't go away. Emily's Energy Corner is coming up next.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stretching is so important. Without it, muscles shorten, become tight, and then bam, when you call on the muscles for activity, they are weak and unable to work properly. You can keep your muscles stretching in the right way with stretch therapy, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home or office. It's easy and affordable with Emily A. Francis's book, Stretch Therapy. You'll be able to stretch anywhere by yourself or with a partner. So get stretching. Buy stretch therapy today. Visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. That's EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear, blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Emily's Energy Corner on All About Healing, and it's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, and we just had Jenny Lee on the phone, and she wrote the book Breathing Love, and that is Meditation in Action, and it is a stunning book, and I really enjoyed her. You know, there's just certain people that you talk to that you just know if you met in person, you would be really good friends, and more than likely somewhere down the line, you're probably going to do some course together or be on something together. She's really my kind of people. So if you guys get a chance, get the book and follow her. That's really fantastic. I want to go into something that I've been really thinking about a lot lately, which is, you know that I wrote the book, The Body Heals Itself, and I talk about the tie of muscle memory into your emotion, because I believe that the emotions live at the belly of the muscle, and that when we do the body work, we can approach somebody's body and get to their emotional side and help them to release trauma and body memory. So, But there's more. There's more. And I'm really starting to explore this in a deeper way, and hopefully you'll see it sometime later in print. But it's not just about the muscle memory. The cellular memory is different than the muscle memory. And the tissue memory is different than the muscle memory. But all of these body systems come with a memory. And it's not just the mind, and it's not just the muscle. And even in Chinese medicine, they talk about that the memory moves through the blood and the plasma. And that's how we carry memory through our body, is through the plasma. Which I think is really something to stop and think about, because our body memory is the key to changing our healing and to affect healing and to affect our whole permanent change into healing. So Jenny today and myself talked about she's been through extreme grief and I've been through extreme fear and panic and anxiety, and that she acknowledges fear but no longer will let fear guide her in her life. And I'm the same way, but it took so much doing, and I want to talk about that because something came to my attention that made me realize the value of locking into whole body memory to affect change. And we can't do that if you don't feed your body the right memories to create, and the right experiences. Your body has to feel these experiences. So I want to talk a little bit. I'm not talking about feeding through your diet, even though we all know that diet is so incredibly important, but it's not something that I want to get into. It's feeding yourself the proper behavior patterns, thought patterns, experiences. So you have to change some of the things that you're doing in your life to create those experiences. And then once you can feel those experiences, and not just as a fleeting glimpse of an experience, but to really experience it in a way that can lock into the memory systems of the body to affect change forever. And I'm going to give you two examples. One is about my anxiety. So for 7 years, I fought anxiety and panic, and I did it through the emotional body and the spiritual body and the energetic body. But I didn't do it through the physical body because I didn't understand that my physical body was in need as well. And when I say that, I don't mean that I wasn't exercising or doing things physically. But for me personally, and it always makes people a little uncomfortable when I talk about medication, because people on the holistic side think that medicine is like the devil, and people on the physical side think that medicine is the only way. It's not. It's never the only way. But it's also not the devil. Sometimes you actually need medicine to save your life. And in this case, I needed it to save mine. So I had done all this cognitive therapy, hypnotherapy, EMDR therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy. I did it. I saw psychiatrists. I saw psychologists. I saw psychics. I did firewalking. I did soul recovery and extraction. I did everything that you can possibly do for your energy body and your emotional body and your spirit body. But I neglected the physical body because I didn't understand that my brain was so far out of balance that it did need some help to stabilize the chemicals in my brain. And I did end up taking a child's dose of a medicine that really brought me back to life. But it did what I'm talking about. It gave me enough understanding when I recognized my eyes in the mirror and thought, I saw somebody that I thought died years ago and never could come back. And I recognized me in the mirror. And I'm not on that medicine anymore, but it did affect the change that I need to put it into my memory system to lock down to make that change. And that is that I could finally experience life without fear running it. And that was huge for me. It was the game changer. It's why I'm here. It's how I can host a radio show now and put myself out there and write books, because I'm not afraid anymore. But it's because I finally got to experience what life is like, not being terrified at every turn, and then locking it into my body so that I can now stand vigilant against anything that could compromise that, and keep myself healthy and know where things are out of balance and what part of my body that might be issuing from, and then make those changes. And that's what Jenny was talking about too, that she no longer lets fear, she'll switch the gears to make sure that fear is not the runner. And it's the same thing. I had a person in my life that made life just hard. She just made hard, she or he, whoever, made it hard. And they were removed from my life just long enough, and nothing happened to them. They're not sick. Nothing tragic happened, so I don't have the guilt aspect to it. But they were removed from my life in a way that allowed me to remember what my life was like without them in it. So let's say that it's a lover. Let's say that you've had your heart broken, and you finally get away long enough to remember what your life was like before they came, or without them in it, without the things that brought you down. And once you can experience it in such a way, enough times, that you can lock it into the muscle memory, tissue memory, cellular memory, and mental memory, your actual memory, once the whole body comes together in unison to lock into its memory system what it feels like to be healthy, what it feels like to be happy, what it feels like to feel restored. And whether that's through a physical means, whether that's through a surgery or through a doctor or through medicine or through herbs or through counseling or through acceptance and commitment therapy, EMDR therapy, hypnotherapy, whether it's through colon hydrotherapy, you know, it might be something that needs to be removed. I don't know the answer, but I do know that if you go searching and you experience and treat all those aspects of the body, the different layers of the body, enough so that you can feed your body memory systems the new way to experience life, it will change your life, and it can provide permanent and lasting healing so that you can live the best life you're capable of living. And think about that, really, that it is feeding those layers of the body. It is feeding your muscle memory, but it's not only your muscle memory, and it's not just in the mind. It's not just cognitive therapy, but all of those matter, of course. But it's also re-experiencing or first-time experiencing life without that stimulus that causes you pain, anger, frustration, sadness, fear, etc. But experiencing life without that stimulus in it can affect the body memory systems so much that your whole body will rearrange itself to accommodate your new perception of reality. Your whole body will change the dynamics of what it is. People lose weight or they get healthier or they find an avenue that can provide them the discipline that they've been looking for. Or the teacher shows up. But the teacher shows up because you put that as your intention. And this is the same thing. You're putting this into the intention that you're going to change the body memory systems and feed it something that can affect change for you and bring you back into the now, into a new now, into a new present moment, and into a completely different future. And I want that for you, and I celebrate that in me. And it took me a while to figure out how to put that into words, because people would call me that knew me when I was going through hell and when I was constantly panic-stricken and I don't know, making up excuses why I always had to leave, because I didn't tell people that I suffered from anxiety and panic, because God forbid I looked like I don't have it all together. They even told me, you're a mastermind, you're a manipulator of emotions, because nobody can read you. Nobody knows when you're out of balance because you are so good at manipulating the energy. But now, I don't have to manipulate, I don't have to fake it. What you see is what you get, and I finally freed myself and told the world, yes, I suffer from anxiety, and now I don't, and that's why, and that's how. So that was today's Emily's Energy Corner. You guys have been listening to All About Healing, and I hope to see or hear you back next week. Thanks so much, everybody. Make it a great week. Bye-bye.